This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06 on the evening edition with Lynn. First up, it is Popit Popit Parliament, where we run through the highlights from the Dewan Rakyat. So first of all, there was a question on the government's total expenditure for COVID-19 so far, which came from Dungun MP, Wan Hassan Muhammad Ramli, and Deputy Health Minister Dato' Aaron Agodagang replied that as of the end of October, the Ministry of Health spent 1.16 billion ringgit, and this was for the purchase of equipment, medical supply, PPE, test kits, and other services needed to control the spread of the virus. However, this amount does exclude emoluments to healthcare workers.
Tuan Yang Dipertua, Kementerian Kesihatan Malaysia telah diluluskan peruntukan sebanyak 1 bilion oleh Kementerian Kewangan bagi menangani wabak COVID-19 sehingga 31 Oktober 2020, Kementerian Kesihatan telah membelanjakan sebanyak 1.17 bilion yang turut masuk peruntukan sedia ada Kementerian bagi pembelian peralatan, bekalan perubatan, barangan pakai habis atau consumables, kelengkapan perlindungan diri atau PPE, reagen dan test kit serta lain-lain perkhidmatan dalam usaha mengawal wabak COVID-19. Jumlah perbelanjaan ini tidak termasuk bayaran emolumen petugas kesihatan yang terlibat dalam rawatan, kawalan dan pencegah wabak COVID-19 yang mana peruntukan tersebut adalah di bawah peruntukan sedia ada Kementerian Kesihatan. Terima kasih.
So following on, the Dungun MP asked if the ministry had an estimation for contingency spending to be used in the event that we do see another spike in cases, and the deputy minister said this isn't yet in place.
Anggaran contingency untuk di masa depan kita belum ada, tapi memang untuk Kementerian Kesihatan walaupun begitu dalam pada masa ini pun peruntukan yang ada bagi 1 bilion pun sudah melebihi. Kita sekarang sudah membelanja lebih kurang 1.2 bilion. Jadi kesemua contingency itu memang sudah dalam peruntukan yang sedia ada di Kementerian Kesihatan. Walaupun bajet tak cukup, Kementerian Kesihatan teruskan untuk apa-apa juga pembayaran yang sepatutnya diadakan untuk wabak COVID-19 ini.
That was Deputy Health Minister Dato' Aaron Agodagang stating that although the ministry has exceeded its original budget of 1 billion ringgit for the pandemic, it is ready to bear further costs in order to continue tackling this issue. Next up, the matter of women's rights to citizenship was raised. Sekijang MP Hajah Natra Ismail asked if the government plans to implement a recommendation from CEDAW. CEDAW stands, of course, for the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, and this came from its committee. And the recommendation is to ensure that women have equal citizenship rights as men. Because currently, and we've mentioned this before, but it's worth always revisiting because I just cannot understand it. Currently, a Malaysian woman married to a foreign spouse cannot automatically confer her nationality to her child. So here's the MP asking why this inequality is still in place today.
Jadi soalan saya, contohnya seorang lelaki warga negara Malaysia telah berkahwin dengan warga asing dan anak dilahirkan di negara asing. Tetapi untuk permohonan kewarganegaraan untuk anak memang mudah. Dalam masa 3 bulan boleh selesai. Tetapi seorang wanita warga negara Malaysia berkahwin dengan warga negara asing dan anak itu dilahirkan di negara asing, kadang-kadang ditolak permohonannya dan juga kadang-kadang mengambil masa yang lama bertahun-tahun untuk mendapatkan taraf kewarganegaraan kepada anak tersebut. Jadi mengapakah masih berlaku diskriminasi terhadap wanita-wanita Malaysia? Terima kasih.
Deputy Home Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Mohamed Syed then replied that the government plans to maintain these reservations against the CEDAW recommendation, which essentially means that there won't be changes to women's citizenship rights. He went on to cite national security as a reason.
Untuk pengetahuan yang berhormat, memang seperti mana yang Muhammad telah sebut, jika warga negara Malaysia lelaki berkahwin dengan warga negara wanita asing melalui perkahwinan yang diiktiraf dan juga teratur dan lahir anak tersebut di luar negara mengikut perkara 14.1, memang secara automatiknya menjadi warga negara Malaysia. Tetapi kalau warga negara kita wanita dan berkahwin dengan warga negara asing walaupun ada perkahwinan yang teratur dan diiktiraf, anak tersebut tidak semestinya menjadi warga negara Malaysia secara automatik. Kenapa Yang Berhormat? Untuk mengelakkan agar anak yang dilahirkan itu tidak mendapat dui warga negara atau dua warga negara. Sebab negara-negara lain juga akan anak yang lahir di luar negara akan mengikut warga negara bapa. Jadi sebab itulah kita perlu teliti untuk mengelakkan dua warga negara yang diberikan kepada anak, dan sekiranya belum mendapat warga negara mengikut bapa, bolehlah memohon di bawah perkara 15.2, dan kita faham jika ada masalah yang dihadapi oleh orang ramai termasuk NGO-NGO dan juga Yang Berhormat sendiri, bolehlah berjumpa dengan Jabatan Pendaftaran Negara. Ini soal keselamatan dan kedaulatan negara yang mesti kita pastikan. Terima kasih.
That was Deputy Home Minister Ismail Mohammed Syed reconfirming once again that there won't be changes to women's citizenship rights. This came up as part of a question in terms of whether or not the government plans to implement a recommendation from the CEDAW committee, because right now, a Malaysian woman married to a foreign spouse cannot automatically confer her nationality to her child, unlike what we would see if the genders were reversed. So what do you think? Should women have the same rights as men in this instance to be able to confer their citizenship to their children? Or is that reasoning, this idea of national security and sovereignty and what other countries are doing, is that good enough? You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Moving on, there was a question on parking fees at train stations. Gerai MP Sabri Azit asked if there are plans to review those charges, which he saw as a burden to the people. Deputy Transport Minister Hasbi Habibullah replied that he doesn't find those charges as burdensome. He doesn't think that they are to the rakyat. Currently, these parking services are handled by three operators, including Kereta Api Tanah Melayu Berhad, Prasarana Malaysia Berhad, and Express Rail Link Sendirian Berhad. The rates right now are between 3 to 5 ringgit a day. So the minister said the funds are needed to cover the operational and maintenance costs. Here he is.
Untuk makluman Yang Berhormat, kutipan parkir ini akan digunakan oleh pengurus parkir untuk menampung kos operasi dan penyelenggaraan tapak bangunan kemudahan parkir tersebut. Selain itu, kadar yang ditetapkan adalah mengambil kira tahap kemudahan yang akan disediakan pada masa hadapan bagi memberi nilai tambah kepada kemudahan sedia ada. Walau bagaimanapun, ianya bukan bertujuan untuk membuat keuntungan. Sebaliknya, ianya bagi menarik minat lebih ramai pengguna untuk menggunakan pengangkutan awam. Kesimpulannya, Kementerian Pengangkutan merumuskan bahawa kadar yang ditetapkan oleh setiap pengurus kemudahan parkir adalah berpatutan dan tidak membebankan rakyat jika dibanding dengan kadar bayaran parkir komersial yang boleh mencecah hingga 2 digit sehari. Terima kasih.
That was Deputy Transport Minister Hasbi Habibullah. So do you use the parking services at train stations? Has it made it easier, more convenient for you to use public transport to get to and fro, especially I think for work? And what do you make of the charges? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Moving on, there were some discussions on food security. Jerantut MP Dato' Ahmad Nazlan Idris asked about the government's plans to strengthen this area. And the Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Food Industries, Dato' Sri Ahmad Hamzah, said Malaysia has the capacity to produce almost all the basic foodstuffs we need. Here's the Minister.
Negara kita berupaya untuk menghasilkan hampir semua bahan makanan asas berdasarkan pada kadar pengeluaran makanan negara, tahap sara diri ataupun SSL bagi daging ayam, itik, telur ayam, itik dan ikan adalah melebihi 90%. Bagi buah-buahan dan sayur-sayuran pula, Malaysia telah mencapai SSL melebihi 100%, kecuali bagi buah mangga, kelapa, kobis, cili dan halia. Beberapa bahan makanan lain seperti daging lembu, beras, sayur-sayuran dan buah-buahan beriklim sederhana seperti kobis, bawang, apple dan orange, negara masih bergantung kepada import bagi memenuhi keperluan domestik.
The Deputy Minister went on to reveal several initiatives for the agricultural sector, which would include optimising land use, utilising new technology to produce high-quality varieties of rice and increasing the production of beef and milk.
Pertamanya, untuk kita mengoptimumkan penggunaan tanah dan meningkatkan aplikasi teknologi moden dan membangunkan variety yang berkualiti bagi industri padi. Membangunkan komoditi sayur-sayuran dan buah-buahan yang bernilai tinggi untuk tujuan domestik dan juga ekspor bagi industri market tanaman. Ketiganya, meningkatkan pengeluaran daging dan susu melalui penubuhan lembaga ruminan negara bagi industri ternakan dan meningkatkan pengeluaran susu melalui projek rintis tenusu di 5 buah lembah tenusu.
That was Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Food Industries Ahmad Hamza. And finally, on to the budget debate. So the allocations for the Ministry of International Trade and Industry was in focus today. Among several matters, the MPs discussed the funds that were used for the APEC summit back in November. And there was some heated debate on that. But first, here's the Minister, Datuk Sri Azmin Ali, announcing that they used only 66.6 million ringgit out of the 350 million ringgit budget for the summit, and that they managed to therefore save 233.4 million, which they then returned to the finance ministry.
Daripada 300 juta yang Bagan luluskan untuk 2020, kementerian telah menjimatkan sebanyak yang ditanya oleh Baling, kita jimatkan 233.4 juta ringgit. Yang Berhormat Datuk Pengerusi, 233.4 juta ringgit MITI serahkan balik kepada Kementerian Keuangan kerana Kementerian Keuangan perlukan dana yang besar untuk pakej langsangan ekonomi membantu rakyat di bawah yang terkesan akibat COVID-19. Maka selebihnya hanya 66.6 juta ringgit yang kita gunakan.
Having said that, I mean, opposition MPs argued that the 66.6 million ringgit is still way too much given that the summit was held online because of the pandemic. Here is Bagan MP Lim Guan Eng, who called for further investigations on the matter.
Yang jadi masalah sekarang ialah apabila ia dijalankan secara maya, MPs is done online. Mengapa perlu ada perbelanjaan yang begitu besar? Online ialah sesuatu yang agak murah dan saya ingin tanya, adakah Yang Berhormat sedia untuk perkara ini disiasat baik oleh PAC ataupun oleh Jawatan Audit untuk memastikan okay. bahawa perbelanjaan baik 66 juta ataupun 25 juta untuk tahun depan ia adalah dibuat secara accountable dan tulus kerana sukar untuk dipercayai satu mesyuarat secara maya ini makan perbelanjaan yang begitu besar.
So you just heard both the Minister of International Trade and Industry, Azmin Ali, as well as Bagan MP Lim Guan Eng. Anyway, the budget allocations for the ministry passed with 110 MPs voting for, 104 voting against. And budget allocations for two other ministries, namely the Ministry of Entrepreneurial Development and Cooperatives, as well as the Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs, were also passed with a voice vote later in the afternoon. So we've been asking you for a couple of different things. Firstly, sorry, if I sound irritated, it's partly because I slightly am, and that is this issue of nationality, whether or not women, Malaysian women, should have the same rights as Malaysian men to confer their citizenship to their children. Because right now, if you are a Malaysian woman who marries a foreign national, that is not, and has a child, that's not the case. There was also a question on parking fees at train stations. How much do you pay if you park at public transport? Do you find it worthwhile? And also, 66.6 million ringgit for a summit that went online. What are your thoughts on that? That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.